Rock of Ages. I'm a missionary with the Rock of Ages. We were able to be in Kirkland Correctional yesterday, all day long on visitation, visiting the men there. We were able to go into several of the dorms there. We saw 9 men trust Christ as Savior yesterday, and very grateful for that. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to lead a man by the name of Sal to the Lord Jesus. Sal was coming out of the cells. The men were on lockdown. And so we were talking to the men most of the day through the doors. And if you've ever been in prison, I guess most of you probably hadn't, but there's a steel door there, and it's very difficult to communicate. But Sal had to come out to go to Peel Line to get some medication, and we were able to take a few minutes. And Sal had grown up in Pennsylvania. He was a Catholic, and I began to talk to Sal about the Lord, and he began to tell me, you know, all the different things he had done. And I remember one of the things specifically he said, I went to confession and told the priest all I'd done, said all the Hail Marys, this, that, and the other. And I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, was there anything different about when you left? He thought about it a minute, and he said, well, no, there wasn't. And I was able to take a Bible and begin to share the gospel with Sal. Sal began to cry, and Sal bowed his head and he trusted Christ as Savior. And we thank the Lord for that opportunity and what the Lord did yesterday there in Kirkland. And we're excited to be with you folks this week, be at our home church for Mission Conference. Been praying about this several weeks now, looking forward to what the Lord's been going to do, seeking the Lord's will on this thing. And I hope each and every one of us will be here for all the time that we have each and every night, looking forward to the Lord do a great work. I know I'm looking forward to hearing from the different missionaries. I know Brother Jean-Claude, we met several months ago, or maybe a year or so ago, at a Mission Conference. Always enjoy being with him. And then, of course, the McKinneys, we met them also at a Mission Conference last year. And then I knew Brother LePage, and then I get to introduce and meet this new brother here. And so I'm very grateful for these missionaries. And that's one of the privileges of being a missionary. You get to meet other missionaries, and men and women going all over the world, and a lot of things in common, and I thank the Lord for that. And as Brother Shane was saying, we do give by faith promise. That's how we do it, our mission, support our missions, and we're going to try to talk about that some this week and the great principles that are in the Word of God through this faith promise giving. And just my own testimony. You know, I grew up in a church that was a little different from an independent Baptist church. We'll just say that. I was in a Baptist church, grew up there, and they supported missions, but they didn't do it through faith promise. And I remember we come to Tabernacle, it's been about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, and Pastor Adams was here, and I found out about faith promise missions. And I thought, man, what a great thing that was. I didn't know anything about it. And I believe I think it's the Lord's way, first of all, and I think it's the best way to support missions. And it's amazing how that a small church, a church maybe doesn't have a lot of folks, maybe small in number, can support a lot of missionaries and can do a lot of things through faith promise. And then let me say this, a large church through faith promise can do larger things. And so faith promise is a good thing, and I'm excited about that. As Shane said, you know, you've got one side here that's got your information. Pray about it. Pray about what God would have you to give, what God would have you to do. I guarantee you, if you seek the Lord, He'll give you a number. You may not think, Lord, that much. Well, if that's what Lord's laid on your heart, He'll provide it. And so pray about that thing, consider that thing, and then I guess on Wednesday or maybe next Sunday we'll collect these and see what the Lord would have us to do as far as missions is concerned. And again, we are looking forward to the missionaries this week, looking forward to what God has called them to do, and excited to see all the work. And there's a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of work to do all around the world, and we're very excited about this coming week. If you will, take your Bibles. We're going to turn to two places this morning real quick, two places. We're going to be start reading in Matthew chapter number 28, and then we're going to turn over to Acts chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 28, we're going to read a verse of Scripture there, and then we're going to go over a couple of verses of Scripture there, Matthew 28, and then we're going to go over to Acts chapter number 1. If you will, stand when you find your places there in Matthew 28 for the reading of the Word of God. And again, thank you so much for letting us be here this morning, and thank you so much for all you do for me and my wife as our home church, sending church. Matthew chapter number 28, I want to begin reading in verse number 18. Of course, this is after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preparing to ascend into heaven. He's kind of given the final commands to His disciples. In verse 18 it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then over in Acts chapter number 1 this morning, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given me and my family again to be at our home church this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the congregation that is gathered. Thank you, Lord, for the missionaries, Lord, that you have sent our way. Lord, I thank you for each one and what they're doing and the labor that their heart has a desire to do for thee, Father. Lord, thank you for that this morning. Thank you for missions, Lord. Thank you for all that's been accomplished through mission work, Father. I pray this morning, Lord, as we preach, that you'd please empty me of myself. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd give me clarity of heart and mind and speech. Lord, that you'd help me to say only the things that you would have me to say this morning. I pray, God, for my audience, may they listen with open ears and open hearts. Lord, be receptive to the Word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this would just not be a routine service. Lord, it wouldn't be a routine missions conference. Lord, it just wouldn't be routine. But, Father, I pray the Spirit of God would work in our hearts in a great way. Stir us up for world missions, Lord. Stir us up for the service and the work of the Lord, we pray. Thank you now for what you do. Give me good pace as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated this morning. Today, as we start the 2019 Mission Conference, this week we will meet men and women who have given their lives and answered the call to missions. The call to carry the gospel to the world. In our text this morning, we read the command or the orders from headquarters, if you will, for the early church and the believers to carry the gospel to a lost and a dying world. Let me say this morning that missions is at the very heartbeat of God. God is interested in mission work. In fact, if you think about it, the greatest missionary that lived was the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what are you talking about? Well, He left His home in heaven and came to this earth so that He might die for our sins. And He done some of the greatest mission work that anybody had ever done during His time on this planet. And so if you think about it, missions is at the very heartbeat of the Lord. I say this morning that a healthy church is a church who is concerned and involved in missions. We live in a day and age which many churches are struggling, which many churches are dying, which many churches are not being successful. And a lot of times folks wonder, why are we struggling? Why are we not doing well? Why are we not accomplishing what God has wanted us to do? And a lot of times you'll find out it's a result of missions. They have no desire, they have no interest, and they have no longing to be involved or concerned in missions. In fact, one of the great preachers of days gone by used to say whenever his secretary would tell him that they were struggling financially, he would tell him, well, we need to take on a missionary. And he would do so. Why? Because God is interested in missions. And if a church is going to be healthy, and if a church is going to grow, and if a church is going to fulfill the call that God has put on its life and put in its path, that church is going to have to be interested and involved in missions. Let me say this morning that missions is not an option, but is a command given to the church from the Lord. And I'll say also that every believer needs to be involved in missions. From the oldest one in here to the youngest one in this room this morning, if they know Christ as Savior, they need to find a way to become involved in missions. As Brother Shane said, some of the young people are already giving towards missions and learning this principle of faith promise giving. And I think about as parents, we have a responsibility to cause our children to become involved in missions. I think about Brother Doug, his daughter is getting ready to go to South Africa, if I've got it right. She's involved in missions and what God is doing through missions. There are two ways in which a believer can become involved in missions and participate in missions. Number one, we are involved in missions through going. Through going. Notice, if you will, in our text in Matthew 28:19, you see two words, "Go ye." That is a direct command for the individual to go to the mission field. Now that mission field may be the neighborhoods around this church. That mission field may be Salisbury. That mission field may be the workforce. That mission field may be some area in this area. But that mission field may also be somewhere around the world. That mission field may be a jail cell. That mission field may be Costa Rica, it may be Germany, maybe Bolivia. That mission field may be some far off place, but we are commanded to go. I see also concerning this in Acts chapter 1, it says, "Ye shall, and upon you, and ye shall again." As believers, we should be willing to go to the mission field. So many times people are not willing to consider that maybe God would call me to some great mission work, some great mission field. And I'm thinking it's sad that we live in a day and age which many men and women don't want to get outside of their little area, and they're not willing to go beyond where God may call them to go. But I say, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be right with the Lord, we need to be willing to say, "Lord, wherever you call me to go, that is where I'll be willing to go." I think about, secondly, not only are we involved in missions through the matter of going, but we're involved in missions through the matter of giving. This is the second principle in giving, supporting financially missionaries through faith and through believing the Lord that He'll provide whatever we promise to give to missions. In fact, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 said, "Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver." That 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, that deals a lot with giving, and a lot deals with faith promise giving. And notice he says, "So let him give." We are to give to missions. We can be involved in missions through giving. And I think about missions. Missions takes money. Missions takes money. That's just a fact. You think about traveling everywhere the missionary goes and all the things that he does. As Brother Jean-Claude shared this morning, he had to have money to get to Walterboro. And I know where Walterboro is. You say, "How do you get there?" Well, you drive to the middle of nowhere and drive another half an hour and then you're there. It's out there, you know. But it took money to get from point A to point B. And that's just a fact. I think about me and my wife and our family in missions. It takes money to stop at the Chick-fil-A when you're running down the road. It takes money to put those tires on that vehicle. It takes money to go into that prison and do all the work that we're doing. When you go to the foreign field, it takes money. It takes lots of money to be able to operate. Where does that money come from? It comes from the individual believer who is willing to say, "I'm willing to give to missions." To missions. I think about Tabernacle Baptist Church. We support missions through faith, promise, giving. That being said, I believe every member of our church should participate in this matter of faith, promise, giving. Whether we have finances plenty, or whether we struggle financially, or whether we have a job, or whether we're looking for a job, whether we're in school, or whether we're already out in a career, we ought to have a heart to be able to give to missions. You say, "Well, how is God going to provide my needs?" Well, God will not only provide your needs, but He'll provide that thing that He has laid upon your heart, that promise that you might be able to give to missions. I'll say quickly this morning that this is not your tithe, and everyone ought to tithe. We ought to support the local work here at the church. Our tithes pays the light bill. Our tithes pays the insurance. Our tithes pay to get the grass mowed. Our tithes will eventually pay the pastor's salary and all the things that go on with that. Every member ought to be involved in tithing or giving back to what God has given us to the Lord. I think about, this is not a free will offering. What did we do this morning? We took up a love offering, giving to help that need for one of our members to take care of that. That is a love offering. But this is a promise made between the individual and the Lord to give by faith to missions. To say, "Lord, you've laid this amount on my heart, $10, $20, $1,000, whatever it is. Lord, you've laid this on my heart, and I by faith I'm going to promise that I'm going to fulfill that promise, and you're going to provide that need so that I can give." What is faith promise? Well, let me give you four things quickly. Number one, faith promise is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get involved, to help get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Understand, every time that we give to faith promise, we are exercising, we are participating in the opportunity for world missions. Every one of these missionaries this morning, they come to us to present their ministry, what God has called them to do, and we have an opportunity to partner with them in what they're called to do. I think about that fellow yesterday, Sal, that got saved. That opportunity was made possible because men and women give to missions. Costa Rica will have a church, will have a Bible college, will have other things that go on. Why? Because men and women saw the opportunity And they acted on that opportunity and gave to missions. And so faith promises an opportunity. Secondly, faith promises an investment. You said investment in what? Investment in missions, in missionaries. We'll receive the rewards and the benefits and the dividends of the investment. Guess what? Yesterday when I led south to the Lord, I received a reward. I got a reward for doing that, for being able to do that. But guess who also got a reward? Tabernacle Baptist Church. Why? Because they support me as a missionary. Every time someone is born again because of a mission work or because of a message that was preached on a foreign field or because of a tract that was passed out or because of a soul, every time that takes place, that is an investment. And the churches and the individuals that give receive a reward for that investment. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but one day when we stand before the Lord, one day when we get to heaven, there are going to be people that come up to us and say, I am here as a result of your investment. And there'll be rewards given because of that. Understand, there's people in heaven that I do not know that I will never meet in this life, more than likely, that I have will receive a reward. Why? Because I invested in missions. The same way with this church, there's people all over the world, 39 missionaries, I believe Shane said, that we've invested in. And one day this church and us as individuals that give to missions will reap a reward because of that investment. Thirdly, missions, giving to Faith Promise missions, is a learning experience. It's done by faith. Committing to give something that we don't have to the Lord that He's going to provide. Now that is a learning experience. God is using this to teach us to trust Him that not only will He provide faith promise, but He'll meet every need that we have. So many times we say, Lord, we've got this need. How is it going to happen? How is it going to be taken care of? And God said, well, I'm going to meet that need. And God meets that need. You know, faith promises the same way. Lord, we've committed to give this amount. We've committed to work in this area. We've committed to do this. Lord, I need You to provide it. And God provides it. That teaches us that we can trust the Lord. Whatever the need may be, we can trust the Lord and He'll meet those needs. Then I think about, fourthly, faith promises an improvement in a relationship. Not only is it an improvement with a relationship with the Lord because by faith, but it's an improvement in a relationship with the missionaries and the mission work. You see, what are we interested in? We're interested a lot of times in what we give our money to, right? What we invest in. I don't have any stocks or any bonds or anything like that. I don't understand all of that. But if I had the brains to be able to invest in stocks and bonds and all of that, guess what I would be interested in? I would be interested in how those are working and how those are going and how all those are working out. You see, whenever we invest in mission work, what do? We become more interested in what that missionary is doing. We become more interested in where they're at. We become more interested in what needs they may have. We become more interested in the souls that they win for the Lord Jesus. We tend to pay a little closer attention when Doug comes up or whoever does it on Wednesday night and reads that mission letter. We pay more attention. Why? Because we're investing in that individual. And that improves that relationship with that missionary. So this being said, as we seek the Lord in this matter of faith promise giving and this matter of giving to missions, we need to realize that faith promise can do great things. I thought about this thought several times throughout preparing for this week, and the thought was simply this, the thought of the possibility of the impossible. The possibility of the impossible. I looked up that word possibility, and that word possibility means the power of being or existing, the power of happening, or the state of being possible. The state of being possible. This morning we need to understand that the task of missions in itself is absolutely impossible in the human eye. The task of taking the gospel to the entire world in of itself in the human mind, in the human thinking, in the human ability is absolutely impossible. Matthew 28:19, we are commanded to go where? All nations. Acts 1:8, we are commanded to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That word uttermost part, or uttermost, means being the furthest or the uttermost extent or to the end. Now, I always got interested in that, that uttermost part of the world. I wondered one day, where is my uttermost part of the world? And so what did I do? I Googled it like everybody else. And as best I could figure, the uttermost part of the world from Salisbury, North Carolina, or from Statesville, North Carolina now, is a place called Perth, Australia. Perth, Australia 11,433 miles away from where I Googled it when I Googled it. And you think about that. We are to start here in our Jerusalem, Salisbury, North Carolina. And we are to finish up in Perth. Now that's a lot of countries. That's a lot of nations. That's a lot of airplane rides. That's a lot of things to be able to achieve that impossible goal. Consider also the impossibility of these. There are 7.6 billion people on planet Earth. Now that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. How in the world can we reach 7.6 billion people? Consider this. There are over 7,000 different languages. I think about going to Germany. I don't know whether you've got to have to learn German, more than likely, to plant a German church. I can't speak. Speaking in Deutsch, that's as far as I go, and I don't even know if I said it right. You know? You get talking in French, forget it. You know, Spanish? Uh-uh. I'm thankful for a fellow by the name of Bill Adair. You say, who's Bill Adair? Bill Adair is a volunteer with Rock of Ages. And he was helping us yesterday. Bill Adair was a missionary in Mexico. And guess what? I walked up to a cell yesterday and you look through that window and it said, Jesus, you know, big long words, you know, I ain't going to mess it up. What did I do? Bill Adair, Brother Adair, right here. What did Adair do? Adair went in there and started speaking in Spanish, you know. Guess what Adair did? He won a man to the Lord Jesus. I couldn't have done that. But you see, those languages make it impossible. Culture makes it impossible. You think about learning a different culture and learning how people behave and all that. It makes it, time itself makes it impossible. Just the ability, the time we have on planet Earth, just the time that we have to give to so many others, it makes it impossible. All of these things makes the task of missions impossible. However, God would not give us an impossible task, would He? So how do we reach the world? How does the possible, impossible, become possible? Well, let me say this morning real quick, just a few things this morning if I can get my notes right. How does the impossible become possible? Number one, we've got to realize that the power is the Lord's. The power is the Lord. Over in Acts 28, He says, all power is given unto Me. The Lord Jesus said this. Then Acts 28:20, He said, I am with you always. Acts 1:8 says, ye shall receive power. You know, a lot of times we try to do things in our own strength and in our own ability, and what happens? We're not able to achieve it. I'll be honest with you, if I tried to get up here and preach in my own strength and own ability, y'all might as well go to the house and I think hockey's on now. Watch hockey or whatever, you know. That's the only thing that's going to benefit you. Because we're trying to do it in our own self. It's the same way with missions work. If we try to figure out in our own self, we are destined to fail. As missionaries, when we make those phone calls and when we try to get those meetings and we try to get on the road and go and try to present and all of those things, if we're going trying to say, well, we can do it and I can do it and we'll be successful, no, we're going to have a hard time with that. Think about in our faith promise giving, we said, Lord, I'm going to give $1,000. Well, the Lord may not want you to give $1,000. He might want to give you $500. He might want you to give $100. You've got to be careful that we don't try to do it in our own self and in our own ability. That word power means force, strength, or energy. I looked that up. You know, many of y'all know we just recently moved into a house. And if you know anything about me, I've got books over my head. You know, I like books. And I found some of my books this week. And I'm glad I found some of my books. Why? That means I can study more, you know. One of my books, I opened it up and I looked up that word power. And that word power in the Greek means dunamis. Dunamis is where we get our word dynamite from. Now, I like that. You say, why is that? Because we must realize that we must be explosive in our going. In our going. Well, it's soul winning time again. I'll go knock on some doors and try to get some people to argue. That ain't explosive, is it? No, it's soul winning. We're going to go knock some doors. We're going to go to the neighborhood. You know, we get there and you know what? People think we're crazy, Rock of Ages. Why? Where have you been to? I've been in prison. And they're smiling about it. What in the world's wrong with you, you know? You get into the prison, the officers, well, yeah, come on, hurry up, get through, you know. And we're all happy. Hey, how you doing? Glad to, here's the track, this, that. And them inmates look at us and think, man, y'all ain't right. Why? We're excited. We're explosive about what we're doing. I think about missionaries. When they get up and present, what are they? They're passionate, I believe was the term Brother Sean Claude used. Passionate about what they're doing. Hey, we're going to this field and we're going to serve the Lord. And we ought to be explosive in our going, whatever our field may be, whether missionary, whether laboring here locally. We ought to be explosive in it. Secondly, we ought to be explosive in our giving. Imagine the explosion for missions if our church and other churches would have a desire to impact the world through dynamite giving, if you will. To say, Lord, we're going to give beyond our means. We're going to go beyond what we can think we can give, and we're going to trust You, and we're going to be explosive. It's faith promise time. Not, here comes the moochinaries, and they're going to want money, and they're going to want this, and they're going to want that. No! I get to give to missions. There comes that missionary, he just wants another love offering. No! We get to give to help the gospel go somewhere throughout the world. They ought to be explosive about it, excited about it. Think about how we must realize we're going to have to impact the world. We've got to be explosive. Secondly, let me say this quickly. Not only do we have to realize the powers of the Lord and our power in going and power explosive in our going and explosive in our giving, but the purpose is ours. You know, God didn't call angels to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. God didn't call seraphims to reach the gospel of the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. No, what did He do? He called men and women to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, go ye, ye shall be witnesses. God uses men as instruments or as a tool to reach a lost and a dying world. Each one of us missionaries that are here this week, we've surrendered our lives to God to go to whatever field that God has called us to. And we say, God, use our lives, use our abilities, use our knowledge, use what You have given us for Your glory. And use it as a tool that we might reach somebody with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 13 verse 2 says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Lord said, look down. He said, I picked them fellas out. Those are the guys that I want you to separate. Those are the guys that I want to use. Those are the men that are going to carry the gospel to the known world at the time. Think about God calls men in two different ways to reach the world with the gospel. God calls men to go, as we've already said. Think about William Carey went to India. Hudson Taylor went to China. Jim Elliot went there to those Indian tribes there in Central America. Ed Ballou went to prison, the founder of the Rock of Ages. Think about old Ed Ballou. He said, we must do this. It's been thrust upon us. Nobody's reaching these men with the gospel. He said, we've got to do this thing. Think about Adoniram Judson went to Myanmar or Burma. George Mueller and the mission and the orphanage that he establishes, these missionaries that God has called this week to go somewhere and reach a world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. These are those that go, but these are the instruments that God has chosen to go out and actually do the work. And then there are those that God uses as instruments in this matter of giving. You know, I'm interested in John Rockefeller. You say, why is that? According to what I know about John Rockefeller, John Rockefeller's net worth today would be worth over $318 billion. Man, he had some cabbage, you know. And I think about old John Rockefeller and all that money that he had and things like this. But a lot of folks don't know, and from what I can understand and what I can glean from history, John Rockefeller knew the Lord. Believe it or not, John Rockefeller was a Baptist. And in John Rockefeller's lifetime, he gave away $540 million. To establish churches, hospitals, to establish Bible colleges, and to send missionaries around the world. $540 million. You know, God sometimes calls men to give. Think about it. Would John Rockefeller be worth $318 billion if he didn't give the $540 million knowing the Lord? I don't know. But that's a good thought to have, isn't it? Think about there are those at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I don't know what we gave last year, but we gave what we could and we took the gospel to the world. There are men that you don't know that I know, men like Kyle Coyer and Ray Johnson. You don't know them. I may have mentioned them before in preaching. But what did God call them to do? To drop a $100 bill in my offering plates. They were both successful businessmen. They were both who had wealth. They were both men that God used. And when it come time to give to missions, guess what? They were able to give liberally, able to give extra. Think about the Macedonians over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Bible says they gave out of deep poverty. They didn't have the wealth that Rockefeller had. They didn't have the wealth that these men that had that I spoke about have. But what did they do? They said, you know what? We don't have that wealth, but we're going to give what we can anyway. That child gives that quarter, and that quarter buys that tract that's handed out to that fellow on the street corner in Germany or in Bolivia or in Costa Rica. Guess what?
that tract gets read and that man gets saved, that child's going to get credit and reward for giving that quarter. You say a quarter can buy a tract? I don't know how much tracts cost, but it might buy 2, 3, 4, 5 tracts. It might be a nickel apiece. That'd be 5. Wouldn't that be something? 5 tracts go out, 5 people get saved. Guess what? That quarter went a long way, didn't it? Then one of those men get called to preach and establish a church somewhere else. And then he trains other men and sends other men out, and all of a sudden they establish a church. Man, that quarter went a way farther away. Then all of a sudden those people get a heart to come back to this country because there's foreigners in this country that we can't reach. And all of a sudden the missions is all the way went full circle just through a quarter. It's amazing, ain't it? Then I think about thirdly this morning, the people are in need. The people are in need. How many have never heard? How many don't know the gospel of the Lord Jesus? He says all nations. He says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, when I study on that Perth, Australia, they do have a jail there. So if I ever get done in South Carolina, and then I get done in North Carolina, and wherever I'm at, who knows? I may end up in Perth, Australia, in the jail there, trying to win Aborigines and Australians to the Lord. Think about that need. 7.6 billion people. Acts 16, verse 9, famous verse. A vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia, what? Help us. Men and women everywhere crying out, come over and help us. Come over and help us. There's still folks like the Ethiopian eunuch who are reading the Word of God and want somebody to come up and say, understandest what thou readest. There's still folks like the Philippian jailer. There's still those on Mars Hills who has an altar built to the unknown God. They're worshiping a God, they just don't know who He is. They need somebody to show them who He is. There are those that are in the cities. There are those in the countryfinds, on the countryside, those on the farm, those on the seas. You know, a few years ago, I met some fellas. What did they do? They go down to the docks and try to win the sailors to the Lord Jesus. Those sailors coming in and out of the ports, they go down there and they've made it a ministry to try to go on ships and hold services on those ships while they're in port. And they're on the seas trying to win men and women to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There's a need there. Think about when we go, we have to reach, we have to be able to give. There are those that are waiting. Who's waiting on us to take on these missionaries that they might go and win those to the gospel? I think about Brother Philip Page. We took him on. Finished up his support. We finished up. Now he's over there in the bailiwick of Guernsey, as he says, you know. And I think about Brother LePage over there and how God's using him, how God's going to use him and the work that he's been given to do. And there have been people in the bailiwick of Guernsey waiting for a church to be established that somebody might win them to the Lord. I think about this last week. We were in Albemarle Correctional. Brother Frank Patton got up and he preached on hell on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. Preached on hell. And Brother Frank preached and there was a fella come forward and got saved. I mean, he's bawling, he's crying, he's tore up. And listen, if an inmate's bawling, crying, and there's 100 other inmates in the room, you better pay attention. That man bowed his head and trusted Christ. He said, I've been waiting on somebody to come by like this. How many are out there waiting on somebody to come by? I think about there was a story that I heard about a man in the Caribbean, how that there was a missionary there and he got a burden to go to an island, and they told him, said, look, it's going to be hard to get there. It's going to take an all-day ride on a boat to get there. We don't know how it'll go. He said, God's put it on my heart. I got to go. They said, okay, we'll make a way. And they got in the boat and off they went. They got there and all of a sudden they noticed there were some people at the dock they were going to that were waiting on them. One great, great big old man run out there and he had a family Bible. Big old family Bible, if y'all know what those are. He run over there and he said, are you the one that I prayed for that could tell me what this book is all about? Ain't that amazing how that there was a man? If you think about old Cornelius, what was he doing? He was praying. God said, Peter, you need to go over and talk to that feller. You need to tell him about the Lord. Millions, as the old song says, who live in darkness. So today, as we close this morning, we as believers have a great opportunity to make the impossible possible. A whole world that can be reached if we would be willing to do one of two things. Number one, if we would be willing to say, I'm willing to go. It may be across the street. It may be across town. It may be across the state. It may be to a jail cell. It may be to an island. It may be to a nation. I don't know where it be, but I say this morning, we need to examine ourselves and say, Lord, during this time of missions conference, am I willing to go? Am I willing to consider the Great Commission? Am I willing to say, Lord, you can use me? And by the way, let me say this. You say, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher's wife. You can still do a great work for the Lord. You can still do a great work for the Lord. There's a lot of avenues of service in this matter of missions. If you don't believe me, come with me. I'll put you soul winning like crazy. I promise you. There's jail cells all over the place. That all they're looking for, they're not looking for a preacher. They're just looking for somebody to tell them about Jesus. Looking for somebody to tell them about the Lord. These folks, they'll tell you, hey, listen, somebody's got to build the churches. Somebody's got to swing the hammer. Somebody's got to teach the Sunday school classes. Somebody's got to help labor. There's opportunity if we just be willing to say, hey, I'm willing to go, whether I'm called to preach or not. God, are you calling me to missions? Savannah's not called to preach. She's going, though. At least I don't think she is. Is she going? I'm just picking. But she's willing to go to do something, to help somebody somewhere. Then I think about secondly, another way we can do the impossible, make the impossible possible, is be willing to give. To say, Lord, hey, listen, I see this card, and Lord, I'm going to take this thing serious. I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to seek your face. Lord, what do you want me to put on this card? What do you want me to give to missions? Where do you want me to fill this out? How much do I need to give, Lord? How much do I need to give? Those coming to the piano, Miss Lisa, if you'll come this morning, I think about this matter. Are we going to be willing to go, or are we going to be willing to give? Let's stand all over.